Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
And our text today is coming out of John chapter 3, verse 16. And everyone should be familiar with this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Let's pray together. Father, we come this morning, God, just, Father, to praise You, God, to say thank You. Father, You continue to prove just time and time again that Your loving kindness, Father, is everlasting, Lord, and You're so eager, Father, to bestow Your love on us, Father, and we are so eager to experience it, God, every day. I pray that we are. I pray that every day we wake up and cannot wait to experience the love of God. We rejoice this morning, Lord, in the glory of Christmas, which is Christ, the only Savior of the Lord, Father. He's so beautiful. If our hearts have grown cold, Lord, to the beauty of Christmas, maybe it's from complacency, Father. Then I pray, Lord, that You would reinvigorate our souls this morning. Father, if we've grown cold from stress or from busyness, Father, I pray that the peace of God would be on us. Father, if we've grown cold from the lingering effects of sin, then I pray that You would convict us, Father, and we would repent, Father, this morning, this very moment. And Father, if our hearts are cold this morning because of unbelief, I pray that someone would trust You this morning, Lord, that You would save somebody this morning. Father, that someone would be born again, God, and that they would trust You and celebrate the true birth at Christmas this morning. Father, we ask that You give us eyes to see, Father, and ears to hear the truth from Your holy word. May we see Christ. May we adore Christ. May we share Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you guys this morning love presents? Do we have some people here that love presents? You love giving them? How many of you guys love giving presents? Come on. How many of you guys love getting presents? It's okay. You can say you do. You can say that you do. As we come to this Christmas season, I mean, there's something about the paper, and there's something about the bows, and there's something about the mystery of what's inside. What is it? You shake it, and I remember as a kid, you know, you'd shake it, and you'd try to just accidentally tear the paper just a little bit so that you could see what's inside it, and one time, Dad even let us unwrap it and wrap it back, just so we were driving him crazy. He's like, yeah, just open it. We'll wrap it back. All right, so you can see what it is. Leave me alone. But as we come this morning, you know, there is really nothing more joyful as a daddy than to see your son or your daughter. I mean, to see the joy in their face at Christmas. I mean, it really is. Last Christmas, Zachariah, he asked for just one thing. That all he asked for was a backhoe. He's big into construction and carpentry and all those things. He loves, you know, playing in that way. And all he asked for was a backhoe. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to find a backhoe, but that's a tall order, okay? It's a tall order. We searched high and we searched low because either they were this big or they wanted all my money. It was one or the other. They were either too tiny or they were really, really expensive. And so Christy and I, we searched high and low, and finally we found one that was perfect. We found one that was perfect. We found one that was just the right size. You know, he could really play with it, and it did all the things that we wanted it to do, and it was the right price. It's made of plastic, not metal, you know. And so when I ordered it, I could not wait to give it to him. I mean, and finally it came. Finally, it got to the house, and it took everything I had to not just give it to him right then. Y'all been there before? You know, you get the present and you cannot wait. It's so hard to wait until Christmas to actually give it to him. But I did wait. But somehow I waited,
And on Christmas Eve, when Christy and I gave this to him, when we gave it to him, I wish you could have been there. I wish you could have been there. I mean, he was so excited. He could not believe it. It was such a good present. I mean, he squealed, he jumped, he hopped. His face was beaming with joy. It was so good. And he loved it. And Christy and I loved it too. We loved it because we loved seeing the joy on our son's face. Friends, do you know that God loves giving gifts too? Do you know that this morning? That God loves giving gifts? I mean, that's the essence of our passage this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave us a gift. A gift. His only begotten Son, who is Jesus the Christ. I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you how long I've waited to preach this passage. John 3:16, I've waited to preach this passage because it's so foundational to the entire Scripture. And what better time to preach it than the Sunday before Christmas about the gift that God has given us. Now, this is probably the best known Bible verse in the entire world. It at least is in America and in the Western world. I don't know about the Eastern world as much. But in the Western world, this is the verse. Why? Why is this verse so important? I mean, this verse does not have everything in it. I mean, it doesn't have all that the Bible declares about God and about how he works things out and how he manifests his glory. But there is no other verse in the entire Scripture that so perfectly summarizes the gospel. There's no other verse that perfectly that summarizes the gospel. But here's the problem. We've gotten so familiar with it. It's become rote memory for us. I mean, we can't even, we just spit it out, and a lot of times we don't even think about it. And so my challenge to you this morning is this. Let this passage hit you afresh. Let this passage hit you new this morning. Receive it this morning as if it's the first time you've ever heard it. And rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. This morning, we are finishing our Christmas series called For Unto Us a Son is Given. We've looked at the reason for Christmas, and I argued that the reason for Christmas is that Christ came to redeem in the flesh what Adam lost in the flesh. We've looked at the heartbeat of Christmas, which I argued is missions. You see, missions is the effort to take the name of Christ to every tongue, tribe, and nation around this world. And then that's the very heartbeat of Christmas. Today's the capstone of this series, and today we'll look at the glory of Christmas. The glory of Christmas. And so here is the big idea this morning. Here is what I want you to take home with you. The glory of Christmas is the gift of our only Savior. The glory of Christmas is the gift of our only Savior. And this morning we'll look at the three D's of this passage: destinations, difference, and duty. So here we go. Destinations. The destinations. A destination, as you well know, is a place to which you are headed. When you got in your car this morning, you had a place in mind to where you are going, and hopefully you meant to come to 204 West Main Street, all right? Hopefully none of you just happened by chance to come by. If you did, glad to have you. Good to be here, all right? But most likely, you had this destination in mind. It's the place to which you were headed. And I want you to see Jesus here, guys. I want you to see Jesus. He desires to be so clear in this passage this morning. He wants to be so frank because he doesn't want any ignorance or any confusion surrounding what he's saying. He wants to be crystal clear. He's not trying to be politically correct. He doesn't have time for that. There's too much hanging in the balance. Namely, your and my eternal destiny. And friends, here is what Jesus is saying so clearly. Listen to me. There are two potential destinations for every person. That's what he's saying so clearly here. There are two potential destinations for every person. There are only two destinations. The first one is this. The first destination is eternal perishing in hell. Look at John 3:16. Eternal perishing in hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. So the implication here, if there's a condition where they could perish, then one of the implications here is that a potential destination is eternal perishing in hell. Guys, listen, contrary to popular belief, hell is a real place. It is very real. It's the eternal destination of all those who are what the Bible calls unrighteous. So many try to paint hell as a great place, you know, in a lot of our culture. I mean, they paint it as like, you know, just a party. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever you want, it's there. You can do whatever you want to do. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You might have the opportunity to do almost anything you want to do in hell. You might have that opportunity. I don't know. I don't know exactly what will go on in hell. But here's the thing that I do know. There will be one thing that you will not be able to do in hell. And that is escape. You will not be able to escape. Listen to Luke 16:26. It tells us that between heaven and hell, there will be a great chasm or a great divide that will be uncrossable. It's fixed. It's there. You cannot get out, even if you wanted to get out. Even if you wanted to. Friends, listen to me. Hell is no party. It is no party. Seven times the Bible tells us that hell is a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let those images grip you. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That will be the very nature of hell. It points to the very nature of hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnash means to grind your teeth. It's the expression that you make when you experience pain, either physically or emotionally. It's to grind your teeth, to grit your teeth. Have you ever thought about why the inhabitants of hell will weep and gnash their teeth? Have you ever thought about that? Listen to me. Hell is a place of physical torment. It just is. That's what the scripture says. Mark 9:48 tells us that in hell, your worm will never die. It will never die, and your fire is never quenched. I mean, eternal decay and eternal destruction, but never being consumed. That's terrible. That is terrible, at least here on earth. The fire eventually goes out, doesn't it? When it doesn't have something to burn, or when it doesn't have the fuel to burn it. But in hell, the scripture says the fire will never go out. It'll never go out. But not only is it physical torment, I believe that hell will also be a place of emotional torment. And here's how I think of hell. Hell will be an eternal, if I had only. It'll be an eternal, if I had only. It'll be an eternity of wishing that you had done differently, because once you die, friends, there are no second chances. There are no second chances. Listen to Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. It's a one-time thing. There are no second chances. Every day in hell will be a constant reminder that it could have been differently. Every day in hell will be a reminder of that very thing. It will be the very thing. But worst of all, I mean, that's bad. Here's the worst part, though. The worst part is that in hell, you will be eternally separated from God. There will be no conscious presence of God. You'll be eternally separate. I mean, our minds in this age, we cannot fathom what all that means. To be completely separated from God. We cannot fathom what that means. But I know that it'll be a sad, sad, sad state. I mean, there will be much cause for weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who will perish in hell. And let me say this. As bad as the scripture says hell will be, I want you to hear me. It's actually much worse. It is actually much worse. Language cannot get to the depths of the terror of hell. And so that is one destination. That's the first destination. Eternal perishing in hell. And guys, you might say, Ben, this is Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas. You're killing the joy. No, I'm getting to the joy. I am getting to the joy. And here it comes. The second destination is this. Eternal life in heaven. Eternal life in heaven. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Do you see there? Do you see that? Heaven is where God is, and where God is, I want to be. Amen? That's where I want to be. It's the eternal destination of the righteous, what the Bible calls the righteous ones. In heaven, we'll be made perfect. There'll be no disease, no sin, no death. It will be true paradise. You'll have fellowship with those that you love, and you'll experience just continued growth and continued love from God. But most of all, you will be in the very presence of God. Unbroken fellowship with your Creator forevermore. Forevermore, you'll be right there in the very presence of God. And again, our minds, we cannot fathom what all that means. And as good as heaven sounds, I mean, I'm not even going into a deep description of it, but as good as the scripture makes heaven out to be, friends, it's better. It is better than what the scripture can even tell us it is. And so I pray this morning that every single person under the sound of my voice will say this morning, I want heaven and not hell. Amen? But if you would say this morning, I'd rather have hell, then I pray for your soul. I pray for your soul. God help you if you would say that this morning. And so those are the destinations. We want to lay those out because that's what Christ is laying out right here for us. Now let's look here at the difference. The difference. So you want heaven and not hell. What makes the difference? John 3:16 says that the difference is whether or not you believe in the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is God's gift to humanity. He is a gift from himself to us. He literally is the baby that was born to live a sinless life and to die for your sins and for my sins to pay the penalty that you and I owe to God because of our rebellion. Guys, that's exactly what he did on the cross. The wrath of God that was stored up for you and me was poured out on Christ. And so, if you want to be with God in heaven when you die, you must believe in Jesus. Now here's the catch. Everybody wants to go to heaven, amen? But very few want Jesus. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Just go out here on the street and just knock on doors. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but not everyone wants Jesus. But listen to me, here's the deal. They are a package. You do not get one without the other. If you want heaven, then you must get Christ. He is your only hope. He is the only way for you to go to heaven. There is no heaven for you if there is no Christ. And so if heaven and hell are destinations, only one road leads to heaven, and that is Christ. All of the roads, friends, all other roads lead to hell. Listen to John 14:6. It makes it so clear. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In other words, nobody goes to heaven but through Jesus. He's the only way. And so if belief in Jesus is the key or the difference, the deciding factor of where we are destined to go, then here's the thing. Here's the thing. If he's the key, then we want to be sure that we understand exactly what Scripture is saying when it says, believe in Christ. What does it mean when the Scripture says, believe in Christ? Let's look at two things that believing is not. Two things that believing is not. First, believing is not just thinking that Jesus Christ is real. That's not believing in Christ. I mean, we don't believe, that's what the Scripture's saying. We don't believe in Christ the same way that we believe in Santa Claus or we believe in the Tooth Fairy or whoever, you name whoever. It's not the same. We're not saying, yes, I think that Jesus exists. That's not what belief is saying here, because here's the deal. Satan himself believes that Jesus exists, that Jesus is real. As a matter of fact, he knows it. Yet he is not saved. And he is heading toward eternal perishing in hell. And so it's not just a mental assent. That's not enough. Neither is believing this. Here's the second thing. Believing is not just praying a prayer of salvation. Listen to me. It's not just praying a prayer of salvation. Now, although confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, although that's key and that's essential, the true test of our salvation is the disposition of our hearts. That's the true test of our salvation. Do I really love God? And do I really want to follow God? Do I really want to follow Christ? Listen to me. Examine your life for a second. Examine your life. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the one? In other words, is your life marked by obedience to God? Is that a characteristic of your life? If it is not, my friend, you should seriously consider whether or not you are saved. Because he is not your Savior if he is not your Lord. I don't care how many times you've prayed a prayer. It doesn't matter. It's not the prayer. It's the disposition of the heart that saves us. And so those are two things that believing is not. But here is what believing is. I want us to look at this closely. Here's what believing in Jesus is. It's trusting in Christ alone for salvation and satisfaction for a lifetime. For a lifetime. Now, I want to emphasize that, guys. I want to emphasize that it's for a lifetime. We keep on believing. It's not just a one-time thing. I did it. I'm good. I can go about my business and never have another thought of God. That is one of the greatest scandals against the Baptist church, I'm here to declare to you today, is that we say just walk the aisle and just pray a prayer and then go on about your life however you want to. Friends, it happens all the time. And we give people a false security that they are saved when they have no security at all. Listen, this is what Article 11 of the West Main Baptist Article of Faith means. Let me just read it to you. This is straight out of our Constitution. We believe that only real believers endure to the end and that they are kept by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not a flash in the pan here today and gone tomorrow. It doesn't spring up and then wither. It lasts your entire life. It's an ever-present faith, an ever-present belief in Christ. And this is the very essence of what it means for Jesus to be both Lord and Savior of your life. Have you guys ever heard Jesus described as a bridge? He's a bridge. I've heard that a lot of times. I think it's fitting. He's a bridge between God and humanity. It's a fitting illustration or metaphor. Think about a bridge for a minute. When you walk across a bridge, you're saying, I trust this bridge to keep me from falling into the pit below. or maybe it's the river, whatever, the abyss, whatever's below you. I'm entrusting that this bridge will keep me from falling into the pit below. Guys, that's what it means for Christ to be our Savior. But also, when you walk across a bridge, you follow the path of the bridge the entire way across. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the entire way across. You don't get on a bridge and a quarter of the way decide to take a sharp right and walk off the bridge. You don't do that. You don't walk off the bridge. You go where the bridge is leading you. That's what it means for Christ to be our Lord. And so the hinge between heaven and hell is Jesus Christ. He is the deciding factor between heaven and hell in our lives. So we've seen the destinations. We've seen the difference. Let's look now at the duty. Here is the duty. We've seen two potential destinations. We've seen the difference determining which destination will be ours. So what is the duty of John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, listen to me. Our duty is to believe. Believe today. Believe today. That's the duty. As you hear my voice, if you are not a believer, believe today. I want you to look at the word whoever. Or maybe in your text, it's whosoever. Do you know what the implications of that word is? Do you know what that means? It means all of us. It means anyone from the greatest sinner to the least. It means you. Friends, we are all great sinners. If you have not realized that, you need to look again at the scripture and what it says about us. We're all great sinners. But you might be sitting there thinking right now. You might be saying to yourself, I bet I'm the greatest sinner in here of all. You might be thinking that right now. And you know what? You very well might be. But here is the beauty of this passage. Even your sins can be forgiven if you will only believe on Christ this morning. He is your only hope. He is the only lifeboat, friends, that is getting off of this sinking ship. He is your only hope. And so listen, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, do you realize how close you are to falling into the pits of hell? Do you realize how close you are? You're right on the edge, the very edge of a cliff. Picture that, the very edge of a cliff. You do not realize how close you are. You might not be able to feel the fire yet, friends, but listen to me, you are ever so close. And I ask you this morning, what keeps you from falling into the pits of hell? What keeps you? Only the hand of God, the mercy of God that is giving you another breath, another chance to hear the gospel and to believe. That's the only thing that is keeping you at this very moment. As one preacher put it, listen to this, nothing but God's hand holds you from falling into the fire every moment. It is to be ascribed to nothing else that you did not go to hell the last night. Oh God. That you was suffered to awake again in this world after you closed your eyes to sleep. And there is no other reason to be given why you have not dropped into hell since you arose this morning, but that God's hand was held you up. There is no other reason to be given why you have not gone to hell since you have sat here in the house of God, provoking his pure eyes by your sinful, wicked manner of attending this solemn worship. Yea, there is nothing else this is to be given as a reason why you do not this very moment drop down into hell. O sinner, consider the fearful danger you are in. It's a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit, full of the fire of wrath. What are you held over in the hand of God, whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as against many of the damned in hell? You hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing around it and ready every moment to singe it and burn it asunder. And you have no interest in any mediator and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself. Nothing to keep off the flames of wrath. Nothing of your own. Nothing that you have ever done. Nothing that you can ever do to entice God to spare you one moment. I read that and I tremble. I read that as I was typing that, as I was copying that from another pastor's sermon, that passage right there, I trembled. It scares me to death. But here is the good news. You have before you this morning an incredible, an amazing, an astounding, extraordinary opportunity sitting right in front of you this morning. It's right there in front of you this morning. Christ has flung the doors of mercy wide open and he's beckoning you. Come, come, believe on me, trust in me. If you only will, you will never perish but have eternal life. You will be saved from the very wrath of God today by believing in Christ, the only Savior of the world. That is the hope of the Christmas. That's the very glory of Christmas. It's the glory of Christ. Guys, God has given us the gift of our only Savior. For God so loved the world. He loved the world in this way that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal lives. You know, the angels proclaimed this truth at the birth of Christ. The angels proclaimed it the night that he was born. And if you will not believe me this morning, maybe you'll believe the angels. Listen to Luke 2, verses 7 through 11. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There has been born for you today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so this morning, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Christ, may the hearing of the gospel this morning humble you. May it humble you and restore the joy of your salvation. And this morning, if you are not a believer, then I beg you to come to Christ and be saved. Listen, may the hearing of the gospel move you to believe Christ and to receive salvation this morning. God so loved the world, for he has given us a son.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.